the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it? Is it working, Diana? Can you feel it?
Yes, I can feel it. I can feel it. Oh, yes.
So we're trying something interesting here today. It won't be affecting the radio home board game audience, but people listening later on the podcast may notice, since that's in stereo and radio is in mono, I'm actually panning Diana and I 10% approximately left and right. So I got the idea for this because I was talking to this guy named Crabbington Von Crabstein. On Facebook. I have no idea who that is, but he's really funny.
And Crabbington?
Yeah, and I was talking with him about Fiend Phone, which is what you and I are using to connect with, and that's why you sound so good.
Yeah.
But he was saying, well, you should be using TCP instead of UDP, and the jitter versus lost data responsiveness. And, you know, I was just like, yeah, but listen to Fiend Phone. It sounds great. And he said, you know, like, man, you know, I know it sounds great. I know it sounds great. I was listening to you guys. I was listening to you guys in the car the other day. I was scared because I felt like you're in my back seat. It sounded so good.
Wow.
And then I was thinking, but if we were in his back seat, he'd be hearing like the person on the left a little more than the person on the right, you know? So I've actually broken the rules of talk radio for this one show, and I'm using a little bit of a stereo field here on our voices.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, usually when you listen to the podcast, the music in the ads and the music in the bumpers is in stereo sometimes, depending whether it's coming over from the network to me or not, then it's in mono. But, you know, it is a stereo file and there is stereo stuff in it, but the talking is generally mono, and they say that generally you should have talking mono. But I'm trying something different here for the podcast. So let me know when people listen in their cars, let me know if it scares you, if you really think we're in your backseat now. Yep. So Diana, have you been contacted by the government?
Not that I know of.
I've been touched in bad places by the government. Bad touch. Yeah. So
actually, I haven't been contacted, which is my beef, but please continue with yours.
You want them to contact you? Why?
Because I wanted a tourist visa to Brazil.
Yeah, that's so we've all been touched in bad places. You've been not touched in good places by the government. So
we'll
get to that. I have a burning desire. You know, in AA, when they go around the room and people talk, you know, generally like they do a kind of Quaker meeting style, like people take turns, you know, calling on each other or whatever and talking about their story. But at the end of a meeting, they'll often say, well, that's all we got for today, unless anyone's got a burning desire. Like, you know, if someone's going to go out and drink if they don't talk, or, you know, if they just they have to share something. And I'm not going to go drink, but I have to share two things that the government did to me. Horrible, horrible government. All governments are horrible. So, So I am asthmatic. I am not horribly asthmatic. I am mildly asthmatic. I have been my whole life. It was worse when I was a kid, and as it often does, asthma and allergies often get better when you're done with puberty. So, you know, around, I don't know, 18 or 19, it got better. And when I was a kid, I had like one time when it, you know, when I had to go to a hospital for it, to the ER in the middle of the night. And then one time in LA about 10 years ago when it was a really bad smog day. It was really bad, and I had to go to a doctor. And but other than that, it's generally like, you know, I don't even use an inhaler nowhere near every day. Like, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks, I would take a puff on. For a long time, it was albuterol, and it was then like, you know, I didn't have money, and like in LA, I would get albuterol for free at the free clinic. But then, you know, later I was using Primatene, which is not the best thing for you, but it's like gives you immediate relief from asthma.
Oh, that Primatene mist stuff that you could get in the drugstore. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It was like over the counter, and it was like $18. And, you know, the way I use it, it probably lasted a year. So it was like I was spending $18 a year on my asthma treatment. So they actually outlawed that about 4 years ago because of I believe it's because of lobbyist backdoor deals for big pharma with the government. But the reason they gave was that it was due to a treaty, an environmental treaty. You know, like basically, the propellant they use in Primatene is like that stuff that they used to use in all sprays. That,
yeah, like Right Guard and yeah, all that kind of that, stuff, yeah.
That's bad for the ozone layer. Mm-hmm. But the amount that's released is so tiny. I mean, even with like, you know, thousands of people, you know, doing it every day, you know, the aggregate of it was probably less harmful for the environment than like, you know, one tiny town in North Carolina's cars driving every day. You know, it was,
or cows passing gas.
It's ridiculous that they outlawed this, you know, in some cases life-saving, but in... all cases, you know, like life makes your life better and gets you relief so you can breathe medicine that was incredibly cheap. I mean, it was $18, you know, for a year's supply. So, so they outlawed that 4 years ago and I stockpiled it. I bought like, you know, 4 or 5 bottles of it. And, you know, so
because it lasts you a year. So that's all you needed.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, I was still using my last one this year. And of course, it's expired medicine, but it still worked. And and yesterday...
the whole expiration thing is probably a scam, too. Get you to buy more.
It kind of is, but it kind of isn't. And it's different with different medications. In this case, it the medicine still worked, but like the propellant expired. Like it, it wouldn't come out of the thing. So last night... about this time last night, maybe a little earlier, I started getting pretty bad asthma, you know, like, but I would normally just take a puff or two on the Primatene and it would work. And I had plans to go to a doctor and pay a lot of money and get the prescription stuff, you know, because they've basically what they've done is they've replaced something incredibly cheap and effective with something incredibly expensive and less effective that's available by a prescription only. And the cheap thing was over the counter. So, you know, like last night, like I couldn't, it wasn't like go to the ER bad, but it was really uncomfortable. And, so what I did was nothing. I mean, like last night I had trouble sleeping. I was like wheezing so bad. Like the sound of it was waking me up.
Oh, no.
You know, I had a really bad night. And today I called a doc. I wasn't as bad when I woke up, but I still really needed some asthma medication. So I called a doctor and I'm like, you know, what do I do? And the doctor's like, well, our next appointment's like 6 weeks from now. Why don't you go to the county clinic? So I went to the government, you know, and people might say, you know, some people who live with their mother and don't know how the world works are probably going to say, oh, well, you don't like the government and you use the government. I used the government because the government had made it hard for me to do this. You know, without the government, I'd still be buying the $18 highly effective over the counter medication.
Yeah, and there's definitely some. I mean, I've heard some, you know, different people talk about how, you know, that using quote unquote free government services, you know, can still be considered libertarian.
Don't even want to have that argument because you're absolutely right, and those people are absolutely wrong and stupid. I mean, like, you know, if anybody who says, "Oh, a real libertarian would sit there and suffer," I will punch that person in the face. You know, there's actually a scene. Did you ever see the movie Pay It Forward?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm not advocating violence here, but I'm saying like how dire it is when you have asthma and, you know, the government's keeping you from your medicine. There's a scene in that movie where there's this like this gangster in an emergency room and he's been like shot. You know, not dying, but he's sitting there in the waiting room like bleeding. And this teenage girl comes in with her dad, and the girl is having a really bad asthma attack. And they, you know, they're like, okay, fill out these papers. And,
oh, God.
And, you know, and then they, and then, and the guy, like, who's been shot, you know, you can tell he probably has asthma or has a family member who has asthma because he's really, like, feeling for this girl who's totally out of his culture and, like, you know, not somebody he would normally mix with. And, like, he sees her suffering. And they go to like call the guy with the gunshot wound. They're like, you know, oh, it's, you know, you've been here 3 hours. Okay, we'll look at your gunshot wound now. And he's like, no, man, take her, take that girl. She needs it more than me.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, I'm sorry, sir. This is how it goes. You were here first. And he pulls out a gun and points it at the nurses and says, take care of that girl. Like, that's how it feels when you have asthma, you know? Uh-huh. So, yeah. So I go to this county clinic and, like, you know, and of course it's one of those, like, it has a sign on the door, like, no guns allowed in this building, like, all medical, you know, like abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
Lock
your gun in your trunk and come in here and risk your life if someone comes in and starts shooting. And so I go in, I fill out the paperwork, I wait 2 hours, and I'm seen by a nurse practitioner, not a doctor.
2 hours, yeah.
Which isn't that bad, really, for a public clinic, but... And it wasn't even that full. It was just like they had one nurse practitioner there. It was late, you know, it was in the evening. And so they finally, she comes in to see me. But like before that, like I could hear her in the next room, like laughing with, you know, other people that work there. Like,
oh, it's so annoying.
Like, you know, like, oh, you're suffering, but I'm going to go check my face beef and talk to my girlfriends kind of thing in the coffee room.
Yeah.
So she finally comes in, asks me all the same questions that the intake lady asked me again. And like, you know, says, well, what do you normally take for this? And I said, well, albuterol and that other thing, you know, which is what I took before, you know, 5 years ago, when I could just, you know, like 8 years ago when I could get it free. So I said, albuterol, and there's this other thing, I can't remember the name of it, Simitex or something. And it's like, the Simitex is, whatever it's called, is like, you take it every day. And then the albuterol is a rescue inhaler. Like, if you're having an attack, you use that. And it's not quite as effective as Primatene. So she writes me a prescription, like, basically, like, you know, there's no drug seeking behavior for this medication. Like, you can't get high off it. It should just be available without a doctor. So, so I get the prescription and then I go to Walmart to get it fixed and wait another half hour to get it. While I'm waiting at Walmart, I'm like, I'm walking through the aisles. I'm like, wait, Primatene still sells tablets. So I grab some Primatene tablets, go over and get them. And there, it's the same ingredient, and it's like, you know, ephedrine or ephedra or whatever. So I have to like show a driver's license because I guess people can make meth out of this. It doesn't get you high, just makes your heart race a bit, which you can probably tell because I'm still on it now. So, but yeah, so I buy this thing and I take one of the pills, and by the time I get my medicine, this pill has worked, and the pills are like $20 for 60 of them.
Wow.
All right. We'll be back with more of how the government touched me in bad places after this trip to the market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
So I was listening last night to the Freedom Fiends with Derek J and MK Lords. It was really good. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, they're good talkers. They got a good vibe together. I don't think they've done a show together before, and I really liked it. But they did some interesting meowing. It was good. I liked it because they're both good meowers and sing meows. So I was talking about the government and how it touched me in bad places. So here's the reality of healthcare in America, and this is not an Obamacare. This is not a plea for Obamacare. That's socialism. But basically, it's fascism. You know, the fascism literally means government control of major industries. And the government, the medical industry might as well be the government. Like, first of all, think about a place in Wyoming, in like the gun-lovingest place in the world, that has a sign on the door that has no guns. Secondly, the medication that works for me is are these pills. Now, pills don't work as fast as an inhaler, but you know, right. I got 60 of these pills for $20 over the counter, the Primatene, and that'll last me a year or more. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I cannot stockpile those things because if I do, they're going to kick in my door and think I'm running a meth lab, and they will probably outlaw them eventually.
Right.
So here's the thing. I'm in this weird, like, lower middle class rut where, like, I cannot afford health insurance. I can afford occasionally to go to a doctor if I need to. I cannot afford health insurance that I'm commanded to get under Obamacare, which means I'm going to have to pay $600 a year for every year I don't have the health insurance I can't afford, which would be like $12,000 a year or, you know, $8,000 a year for minimum at my age.
May as well pay the fine.
Yeah, may as well pay the fine. And just, you know, so I had to pay $170 to go, you know, basically have a nurse practitioner say, oh, you're asthmatic and you want this asthma medication? Here's a prescription. But she didn't put any refills on it. And I take it to Walmart and we get it filled, walk around for a half hour, poking stuff on the shelves and buying Primatene tablets. Go to pick it up and they're like, okay, that'll be $425.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what? How much is each one?
Racket.
How much is each one? Okay, so the albuterol is like $68 or something. So that's the rescue inhaler. That could last me a year. So I'm like, I'll take that. The daily thing that you're supposed to do daily, and this is a 1 month supply of it, was like $380.
That's insane.
So I was like, no, I'll just take the one that might work, not the one that really might not work. So that's healthcare in America under the government-controlled governmentocracy that we have. Like, basically, you know, I have this health condition. You know, I guess I'm just going to take the pills for it and have to wait, you know, 20 minutes to get relief, which is doable because it's not like life-threatening. I can't breathe. I feel like I'm going to die. It's more like I feel like I've run up a hill, you know, for an hour when I'm sitting, just sitting there. So
that can't feel good.
Yeah, for 24 hours, you know.
Right.
So
yeah.
So that's how the government touched me in bad places, Diana. Ugh,
that's insane. It's definitely government intervention that, you know, the reason why, you know, the cost of medicine is so high and, you know, the insurance industry is so ridiculous. I mean, it's all the government's fault. It really is.
It really is.
They touch all of us in all the wrong places.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I actually heard that someone like on two or three Silk Roads ago, on the original Silk Road, somebody was actually selling Primatene inhalers on there. But but I still had a stash at the time. So I didn't do that.
It's ridiculous.
The name of the medication, by the way, that was expensive. It wasn't Simitex. I think that's an explosive. Well, you know, explosives, pharmaceuticals, they're all made by the same multinational corporations controlled by governments anyway. it's called Symbicort.
Symbicort. Yeah.
And she actually gave me a sample of it that has like 60 sprays, which is like 2 weeks worth. So I have a sample of that. So that's medicine in America.
Right. So it's not something that you have to do all the time. So you can dole it out to yourself.
No, the Symbicort is you have to do two puffs twice a day.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But, you know, and it's supposed to prevent asthma. And then the albuterol is what's called a rescue inhaler, which you're supposed to use when you have an attack. But it does not work as well as the Primatene.
Right.
Okay.
Which you can get over the counter.
I was getting a little asthmatic-y, just yakking that much. So,
okay. So I can talk now if you want.
Yeah, you talk. We're going to the commercial.
Okay. When we get back.
When we get back, I'll let you tell how the government touched you. I'll take a break and then I'll come back with how the government touched me in bad places with the post office, which is socialism for packages.
Ugh. There's more.
Packages I don't have that I should.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Diana.
Yeah.
Show me on the doll where the government touched you.
In my desire to be in a tropical climate with beautiful turquoise waters.
I like it all. I like it already.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so.
I mean, like that you were touched, but I know. I like the poetry of, what you're trying to achieve that the government is getting in the way of.
Yeah, the government is definitely getting, and really it can come back to, it starts kind of with the Brazilian government and really kind of comes back to the U.S. government. So I'd have to say it's probably in the end, it's this fall of the U.S. government in general, but in this situation, the U.S. government. Anyway, so Christian, my boyfriend, is in Rio de Janeiro as we speak. And we had made plans that I would actually go as well. And I was really looking forward to that. Turns out that I needed a tourist visa, which we knew that, but it takes like a month to get a tourist visa, and we weren't expecting that.
I wonder if you were rich, if it would not take that long. You know, like if you were a movie star and had to fly somewhere to shoot some scenes, like would that be an impediment? Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah, I mean, we even looked to, spend some lay down some cash for some expedited visa and everything.
I know you can pay a lot extra to the U.S. government and expedite a passport renewal or a passport application.
Right. Yeah. It's like the very quickest that we could get one was, I think, 22 days. And that was just not enough time. So, and as it turns out, Christian was talking with someone down there about the problem, and I'm not exactly sure who he was talking to, and wasn't sure to believe it, but I found an article that may confirm this, but that it's an issue of reciprocity. The last couple of years, Brazil has been hesitant to grant visas to U.S. citizens, I think Canadian citizens as well, and it has to do with the difficulty that Brazilians have with gaining visas to the U.S. And I actually found an article in the LA Times that talks about that a little bit. Huh. So, yeah, it's kind of verified. So they're kind of like, well, you're going to stick it to us. We're going to stick it back right at you. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to let us in. We're not going to let you in. So,
yeah, they play with people's lives like that, too. Like, I think the most ridiculous one is the embargo on Cuba. And apparently Obama wants to open that up a little bit. And a lot of old right wingers are upset about that. I don't like Obama and I don't like anything he does. And he's probably just doing it, in his lame duck period to irk old white conservatives. But it's not a bad thing, opening up with, really, there's no reason that there should be an embargo on it. It really goes back to something with like Kennedy and cigars, some vendetta, some beef. Although he did, like Kennedy decided to, cut off all relations with Cuba and like delayed doing that for a week because he wanted to get a pallet of Cuban cigars for himself. So that's true. That's true. And that's the government, Cuban cigars for me, but not for thee.
Yeah. Not for thee. Exactly. And visas for me and all my celebrity friends, but not for thee.
Yeah. He was a playboy too. Like, Bill Clinton took his whole playbook of lifestyle from Kennedy, who knows where those cigars have been.
Mm.
So go on.
That's really all I have about that. Yeah. I'm sitting here in the cold, foggy yuckiness of North Carolina with my weird acting dog. My dog's been acting really weird the last couple of days. And so I'm kind of worried about her. And I'm just like, oh, hey. But hey, at least I get to be on the Freedom Fiends with you. But I could have been doing it from Rio.
on the beach with a headset and like a, you know, little tablet, computer.
Well, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning there. So 4:30 in the morning, it's like 3 hours ahead of me.
Yeah. But you'd be up partying. You'd be doing it from you'd be doing it from your car outside, a rental car outside a discotheque. Like, I'll be right back, honey. I got to go do the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. But, well,
that's horrible, man.
Here I am.
I might
be going to Dubai again, though, which is cool. I don't need a tourist visa for that.
Speaking of tablet computers, we actually tried the other day, Derek and I tried FiendPhone Works on a Windows Surface Pro 2 tablet. And he was like, he was using it wirelessly and walking around the house with it, like with headphones and a mic, handheld mic, the same mic, the Fiend's mic, the one we're using.
The Fiend's mic. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool. Yep. Yeah. So it's Windows based right now, right?
It's Windows based right now and will, you know, eventually be on other operating systems. But, you know, it's people don't know what it takes to make it to another system. Like, people complain, like, already some people are like, make it for Mac. Windows is bad. And like, you don't really know what you're talking about. You know, there's not that much difference, and really PCs are better at this point. Macs just cost more, and PCs are just, or Macs are like sexier. You know, they have nicer packages, but other than that, there's not much difference. And then, you know, Linux, of course, people say, oh, well, Windows isn't about freedom. You should be using it on Linux. And it's like, first of all, if you're really a Linux user, you would just program your own version of it. You know, you would do
it.
And release it to the public. Like, that's a real Linux user. What, somebody who is using Linux because their friend who's smarter than them told them Linux is the way to go, you know, will parrot this thing of, oh, Linux is better. And it's like,
right. They don't even know.
Yeah, you don't even know. And, you know, it's not like people treat the operating systems like they're religions, and they get religious about it without, you know, on faith. Like, they don't usually even know why one's better or one's worse. And the thing is, there's like, you know, Derek's a Windows programmer, and I talked to Linux programmers to try to get them to do this before, and none of them wanted to do it. So Linux failed. Mm-hmm. Linux failed because a few people said no. So
no. Right. Yeah. So there you go.
So there you go, man. Yeah, it's not like the programming software for Windows has a button that says output Macintosh version. It's not like that.
Right, I know. Yeah. Wait, you can't just wave your magic coding wand and make this happen?
No, and your boyfriend is a Linux programmer, and he's interested. Well, what?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know how, I shouldn't say this, but I don't know like how great of a programmer he is. He's learning. He's in the process of relearning how to program.
But so, he has managed.
He can do it much better than I can.
He's managed teams of Linux programmers, right?
I think so.
Okay. I think
you might know more about this than I do.
More about Christian's programming, because I've, you know, he and Derek and I, there's actually, they exchanged an email. Christian, your boyfriend, asked Derek about, you know, would this run on Linux through Wine or something, which is a, you know, kind of like run Windows emulator kind of, or change the program to run on. And there's reasons part of it would, and there's reasons part of it wouldn't. Basically, what we're hoping is that someone who programs Linux will build from the ground up the same functionality. That would be the way to do it. But you could use some of the code or some of the techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe you. I believe what you're telling me.
Yeah. All right. So here's how the government touched me, part two in bad places. We often order vape. For our vapes from the Plume Room, which is, I can hear you vaping. You know, I can't hear you vaping on Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, FiendPhone's better.
It adds a little something-something, doesn't it?
Yes. So the Plume Room at theplumeroom.com, who are not advertisers, I'm just doing a shout-out to the best vape-making company in the world that I have found.
I'll just check them out.
They're actually in Wyoming, Minnesota. I didn't know there was such a place until I started ordering from them. But, okay, so we order from them pretty regularly. And we ordered about $60 worth of vapes recently. they're supposed to show up. You know, it has a tracking number. It's sent like 3-day priority. And we searched the traffic, the tracking number. They actually send emails out when they ship it that says, it's time to stalk the mailman, which, you know, don't tell Chris Cantwell that. But no, it says it's time to stalk the mailman. And they have the tracking number. So we checked the tracking number. It's supposed to come on Saturday. So Saturday, the mailman comes, and it's, you know, it's not the older guy that, like, is good. It's the younger hipster guy that subs for him on his days off. So it's the hipster, the yeah, man, whatever, hipster guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, delivers our mail, and we're like, oh, the vape must be here. And we go out, and he's already, like, around the corner, gone, and it's freezing out and really windy. And the box is not there. So it was not delivered, and it was absolutely not stolen. Like, nobody steals stuff off of porches here, as far as I know, anyway, but it's not like LA or San Francisco. But, you know, I mean, there was literally like 2 minutes between when he dropped it off and when we looked out there, and it was not there, and we were really upset. And so we kept, like, checking. We're like, oh, maybe he realized he still has it with him and, you know, said he delivered it. And like, you know, we checked like a half hour, an hour later online on USPS.com, and the post office said it was delivered to our house. Hmm. So, it doesn't say the address, just says delivered to mailbox. And, so,
and you're like, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. So, so today I call the post office, and, you know, we kept looking out there like, oh, maybe he'll bring it back later. And he did not. So we called the I called the post office today, waited on hold for about 15 minutes. Guy answers the phone, sounds like he's 90 and retarded. I mean, he's like, he's like, yeah, what do you want?
Yeah.
And the thing was, like, it just, it rang off the hook for like 4 minutes, 4 minutes before he answered it. Like, you know, didn't ring and go to hold music, just rang off the hook. And finally, I'm like, it's the post office. They're there. This is the number. Also, like, the city website that lists the number for the post office, for that post office, for the particular, like, main one, which is where, when I talked to the other mailman today, he said, oh, you have to call that, you know, the Forest Street one. So like, the number listed on, like, the city website, like city pages or whatever, like, was the number for, like, the main post office number in Washington, D.C. or something. So, you know, they got that wrong. And then I get the right number, and I call, and I get this guy who sounds like, in the private sector, he would be retired by now, but he's, you know, it's a government bureaucracy, so he's still working.
That's right.
Yeah. And he was like really rude to me, man. He was like, what do you want? And I'm like, well, this is Michael. I had a package delivered, and, I'll tell you more about the post office versus me and why you should always use UPS or FedEx.
UPS or FedEx. Yep.
And, yeah, we're going to pay extra and order less often from the Blue Room if they have UPS and use that. All right. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, open-source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set liberty back 2,500 years.
That's FiendPhone.com. FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Yes. Obama is a liar. He's a socialist, and his feet stink.
And he spits when he talks.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's kind of like being a, that's kind of like the big city version of being a mouth breather, huh? Yeah. Yeah.
I had another one, but I don't know if it's appropriate for radio. So
it's probably not. So let's keep it to yourself, lady.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, I do love being on radio. I mean, everybody has things that grind their gears, as Peter Griffin says. You know what really grinds my gears?
Grinds my gears.
And,
I love
you
him.
Know, you can spend hours on hold with the post office and get yelled at by an septuagenarian. I don't know, what's beyond, what's 90s?
Neptagenarian? I don't know. You get yelled at. Octogenarian is 80s.
But. Yeah, you can get yelled at. I mean, the guy was probably younger than that because I think the post office retires you at 62 no matter what. But he sounded 106 and he sounded not very bright. You know, so you get yelled at him by someone like that. Or you could just, you know, do that and then go on radio and tell, you know, 20 or 50,000 people your problems. And we don't take calls or anything. Like nobody can, I don't know what people's reactions are, but I really like that we get to, you know, when the government touches us in bad places, we get to just slay them, you know, on the radio. It's fun. It's good.
You know, they're silly. They ask for it, basically.
Yeah, they're asking for it the way they're
they
dressed.
They give us all the material.
The way they're dressed. In those postal uniforms. Yeah.
This stuff writes itself, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally does.
And, you know, I think that some of the people who go crazy, you know, that do violent things or people that you just see on a street corner yelling, like, I think if those people had radio shows or even podcasts, they'd probably be, you know, useful members of society. That's what the government should do instead of like tracking terrorism is just give everyone podcast stamps, you know, like buy everyone a mic and, you know, copy my manual and give it to the people, and, you know, give them like web hosting and that's how they could prevent terrorism.
Yeah. They'd have to make sure to buy everybody the exact same mic. Otherwise they may induce mic envy.
Yeah. Well, they'd probably buy everybody the Yeti mic that costs more and isn't as good that everyone, you know, it's funny. It's like,
and everybody would get Beats by Dre.
Yeah. The horrible expensive headphones. Yeah. And I've been ragging on Beats by Dre, but if you go to the Fiend Phone website and look at my $20 audio school link, I actually really worked hard on that and then did a lot more work on it today. And it's pretty much really, really good. It's a 20, I mean, people will go to that site just for that, even if they're not using Fiend Phone. But so I always recommend these headphones that I'm using, the Sony MD. I got to take them off to look at them. The Sony
$50 ones,
MDR7506. So these are like $50 and they're like the best headphones in the world for under $1,000. And they are, you know, in every recording studio I've ever been in, it's what you use. And every radio station I've ever been in, like if you look at someone in a movie, you know, like sometimes they'll have someone who's a talk show host on a movie, they'll be using an RE20 mic, which I don't really like because it's really expensive. It's not USB and it requires, it kind of sounds like, it sounds like talk radio, but I kind of don't like the sound of it. It's too full and kind of artificial to me. And I like these mics better because they are clearer and you can actually understand what people are saying better. So, but I have long been an advocate of these Sony headphones, like going back to when they were $100 10 years ago, which was more than $100 now. So, you know, they've literally like, they're like a third as much as they used to be, probably because I've gotten so many people to buy them. Oh, you know, Derek told me that we actually like our work on Namecoin and .bit actually changed Chrome. Like Chrome, when you were using Meowbit or any other like .bit resolver, you had to enter the HTTP. If it did not, it wouldn't resolve it even through the resolver. But now, now when you enter it, it says, oh, do you mean to go to http://fiendphone.bit? Like it learned. They fixed Chrome because of the work we did of spreading .bit.
Wow, that's so impressive. Yeah, man,
we built that tiny, tiny little improvement in the world. I'm going to be back with more with Diana Kyler and tell you more about how the government touched me in bad places.
Meow, meow.
Oh, so I was going to say anyway, there's a picture of Dr. Dre in the studio using the headphone, the cheap headphones I recommend that are great instead of Beats by Dre on that page. I found it. All right, there you go. Worms.
Worms.
Worms. Worms.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Shiny badges on your jacket, shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibHair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. My name is Michael W. Dean. My co-host tonight is the lovely and vivacious Diana Kyler, and smart, meow, too. Whip smart. Whatever whip smart means.
Whip smart. I like that.
Whip smart. Whip smart.
Reminds me of a Family Guy episode.
Will Wheaton. Yeah.
Cool whip.
Cool whip. Yeah. All right. So I was talking about how the government touched me in bad places. And for those of you joining us in Sturgis and Belle Fouche, South Dakota, for the second hour, we're on two stations. Ooh. There.
Sturgis. I may end up there on my motorcycle someday.
Cool. I think you'd be very popular at that rally. And
keeping my shirt on, just saying.
Yeah. All right. So you might be encouraged to not keep it on, though, is what I'm saying. There's more to that rally than, you know, those. So, yeah.
I've seen a documentary about it. There's a lot of cops. A lot of cops.
That's, yeah. Other than the fact that I don't own a motorcycle and I'm scared of them. Although I've actually been on the back of a motorcycle going across the Golden Gate Bridge at 124 miles an hour, which is probably why.
Oh my God, that sounds like fun.
That sounds like... if no, it doesn't. It sounds like if there'd been an accident, I would have been a streak half the distance of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Definitely. Oh, and you think that every time I get on my motorcycle and I'm on the highway, those thoughts are going through my head. I stay very focused, very focused when I'm on the highway.
Yep. You know what? Hospital ER workers call motorcycle enthusiasts. This is literally the nickname for them in hospitals is organ donors.
Mm. Yeah. Nice.
I have a lot of respect for people that will travel through space at a high speed without a cage of metal surrounding them. But it's not my kick, man. All right. So I want to talk about kicking the hornet's nest, the government. Bothering me. Actually, the hornet's nest kicked me. So, to recap for those in South Dakota who join us in the second hour, I was talking about how basically the short version of the long story up to here is I ordered a package. I ordered some vape, $60 worth, which, you know, it's not a fortune. But it was supposed to get delivered. Post office said it was delivered. The website said it was delivered. It was never delivered. I was here. It was never delivered. So I call the post office today, get yelled at by some retarded person. And then he asked me the most ridiculous questions. He said, and he had a really gruff voice, and he was like, well, did you get a key in your box? And I'm like, oh, well, this wasn't at the P.O. box. This wasn't the post office. This is my house. And he says, I'm telling you, go look in your post office, go look in your post box for a key. And I'm like, really? They do that now? Like, you know, a package that'll fit in your mailbox, they're going to put a key in your mailbox and make you go to the post office. All right, it's the government. That makes sense. And while he's yelling at me, literally yelling at me, for me doing nothing, just trying to find my stuff, you know, I went out and looked in my mailbox. I said, nope, there's no key in my mailbox. And he's like, give me your address. And I said, okay, do you want the address and the tracking number? And he said, I said, give me just the address. I'm like, okay,
oh
man.
Oh my gosh.
I'm
just trying to be helpful.
You know, and I'm thinking like, I've had the same thing happen with UPS. They were ultra polite, and within an hour, I had the package. Oh, yeah. Like, they went over and got it and brought it back.
Yeah, the, okay. The post office has not caught up to the fact that they have competition now. You know, yeah, it's like, and they don't care.
And think about my experience with the healthcare system that I talked about earlier. Like, yeah. Wait till that's entirely sewn up by the government. Like, it's going to be in a year or two. It's going to be like, you know, we joked about, like, they'll hand out Depends diapers in the waiting room because you'll need them to sit and wait, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the octogenarian retarded man finally said, okay, hold on. And he put me on hold. And of course, there's no hold music. It's just silence. You don't even know if you've lost the connection. So finally, after about a minute, a younger sounding guy who really sounded relatively polite for a government employee and really on his game, you know, came out and was really helpful. And I had to repeat all the information to him again. And he asked for the tracking number. Mm-hmm. And he asked for the tracking number. And he said, give me your phone number and I'll call you back. And I gave him my phone number. And I expected to hear back in a day or two, if at all. And he called me back in like 15 minutes and said, okay, according to the GPS of the, you know, like they have those little handheld devices now. When they deliver mm-hmm. a package, they have a GPS of where it is. He said, the address it was delivered to is blah, blah, blah. And he gave me the address and I wrote it down. And I checked it and he's like, yeah, that's it. You know, I read it back to him. And he said, we'll send the postman there tomorrow to see if he can get it and bring it to you. And if he can't, or I said, well, what if he doesn't? Can I call you? And he's like, yeah.
So was this address anywhere near where you actually live?
It was around the corner for me.
Oh, okay.
I walked over to it in, you know, 5-degree weather and 20-mile-an-hour wind. it was around the corner for me.
To get your vapes.
While yeah. I'm having my asthma attack. And cold air is not good for asthma. So,
no.
You know, while I'm having my, you know, 18-hour-long asthma attack. So I go over there and I immediately recognize the house. I'll tell you what it is after. I knocked on the door and there was no one there, or they weren't answering. I have talked about, I have mentioned this house twice on the show before. This is the house that was raided by the police, you know, in the middle of the afternoon one day. There were like 20 cops, literally 20 plainclothes cops out there, and like 15 plainclothes cops and like 5 people with, like, you know, federal marshals vests on with rifles and Glocks.
You're all looking out your window and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking out my window like like you really shouldn't do when there's going to be gunplay, probably. But
right.
Yeah, so it's that house. It's mm-hmm. Let's put it this way. It's a house that a bunch of young people live in where there are people drive up constantly, all different cars, day and night, and spend about 3 minutes there. And that's all I'll say about that. So
very interesting.
So, and it's also the house where later a detective knocked on my door and said he was going door to door, showed me a picture of the guy that I know lives in that house.
I remember this.
And
yeah.
said, you know, can you give me any information on this guy? And I was like, nope.
Nope. See ya.
So here's what, and I've seen this guy, and I've seen him vaping, and I've seen people in that house vaping. So here's what happened. They got misdelivered. Those people probably opened it up and are probably vaping it right now.
Mm.
You're vaping right now. But, you know, I mean, they don't care if it's a federal crime. They're, you know, if it's stealing, that literally is stealing mail, too. It's a federal crime if you open yeah. it and don't tell the post office about it. But, you know, they probably in their mind cited the legal precedent of the case of finders versus keepers.
It's not. What you said was funny, but the situation's not funny.
Yeah. So here's the situation. The next time a cop knocks on my door and asks me any information about them, I'm going to still say, I don't know. Nothing, man.
Yeah,
I don't know nothing.
Good for you.
However, yeah. next time they get their door kicked in, I'm going to sit there and eat popcorn and laugh at them.
So you're pretty certain you're never going to get your vapes at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to file with the post office. If I don't get it tomorrow, like they said, I'm going to file with the post office. And it's not insured. So, yeah. you know, I'm probably out $60. But If the Plume Room does UPS orders, what we're going to do is we're going to order less often, order more, and always go UPS.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to address what I just said, that I will laugh next time the state, you know, horrifies these people and points guns at them for whatever non-crime they're doing. Yeah, man. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
Right. But you ain't going to rat on them.
I'm not going to rat on them, but yeah, I'm going to laugh if anything bad ever happens to them again. If they get hit by a bus, I'm going to laugh. If if the guy's girl leaves them, I'm going to laugh. You know, if they get evicted, I'm going to laugh. So yeah, they robbed me, man. I don't know.
That ain't cool. That ain't cool.
That ain't cool that they robbed me, or that I said all that.
Oh, that they robbed you.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably should temper that, because I've actually done that once back when I was a drug addict about 25 years ago.
What? Robbed someone?
Never,
no way.
Never. No. No. Something got misdelivered to my house and I kept it.
Oh.
But it was delivered by messenger and left on my door. And it was like a ham around Christmas time. And it was like, you know, it wasn't from like, you know, Aunt Birgit to Billy Bob. It was like from, you know, some like hedge fund. And it was a matter of like, you know, I lived on street and the address was Avenue. And like the street with that address was the hood where I lived. And the Avenue with that address was like out in rich people land. And
okay.
And I was literally starving, you know, probably because I was a drug addict. But also, you know, if drugs weren't illegal, I would not have been starving as a drug addict. But yeah, man, it was I did that once. Well, I ate a ham.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were starving. And hey, it was like a ham from heaven.
Yeah. But these people are not. It was a ham from heaven. With a pig with wings flew down and fed me 2 days before Christmas so I could have a junky-tastic Christmas. But and actually, you know, about 8 or 9 years ago, I love having you on here because I like making you laugh. Okay. So,
While you were talking about that, I was actually also thinking about a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy episode, but please continue.
Okay. So, but about 8 or 9 years ago when I was living in LA right before I met my wife. Oh, and I want to say my wife went with me to the doctor and was really patient and really sweet.
Your wife is really, really sweet. Yeah. I love your wife.
She's awesome, man. So
yeah.
DJ.
DJ.
So about 8 or 9 years ago in LA, right before I met DJ, around Christmas time, I got a Christmas card and I opened it. You know, I didn't read it. I just opened it. And there was a Christmas card with $100 bill in it. And I actually went to the correct address and gave it to the guy. It was an old guy too. And it was, you know, old guy probably on Social Security, who probably wasn't having, you know, guy without a lot of money. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then.
Well, good for you.
Although I will say, next time I get a check, next time I find a check in my yard, like I did about a year ago, I'm ripping it up because. About a year, you know, the wind, like I found a check in my yard, like, and it had the phone number of the person who wrote it, and I called them up and they were like, oh, my mother was putting that in the bank, and the bank's like 7 blocks away. Like it blew to my house.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
And she said to just rip it up. And I said, okay, I will. And she said, you better. I have your phone number. Next time I'm not going to play the Good Samaritan, man. I'm just going to rip
God,
it up.
God, the wind where you live is insane.
It is. It's the windiest state in the union.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Don't agree with the host? We don't care. We don't want to hear it. I think I'm going to put us back out of stereo here. It's just messing with my head. So, people can tell us if you're listening in your car and it sounds spooky or like we're in the back seat for the first part of the show. And we are using Fiendphone, and I do want to give a shout out to Fiendphone at fiendphone.com. That's Foxtrot Echo Echo November Phone.com. It's the software.
That's phone with a PH.
Yeah, it's the software that Derek Slopey and I developed, and he did the programming on, and I did a lot of the designing of the criteria for, and a lot of the feedback and the testing and the writing the manuals and naming it. Actually, I realize, but it's what we're Diana and I are connecting with. It's basically like better than Skype for radio and podcasting. So
yeah, it's excellent.
But yeah, I would like people to go and donate. even if you donate $2, and we actually have a level called a $2 donation on the Indiegogo page. And I'd like people to do that. If they're going to do it, if you can do that and have plans to do it, sooner rather than later would be more helpful to us, because when people outside the little bubble of Fiends fans go there to see it and consider donating, you know, so far it's got like four donations totaling $170, which is, you know, not great, but it's actually better than most Indiegogo campaigns, which get nothing. But you know, when people go there, if there's a bunch of donations, even if they're small, people who don't know us are more likely to donate because they see that people have been into it. So, yeah man, go give us $5 or $10 or $500 on fiendphone.com. Click on the Indiegogo link. Yeah.
Yes.
You wanted to talk about something the government did at some government people that might be a good thing. So let's hear about this. It's a freedom fix. We like freedom fixes.
This is a freedom fix, and it's on benswan.com. So this is a
good guy. Ben Swan has been on the Freedom Fiends several times. He was an hour late once, and I chided him about it.
How did he take it?
He took it well, but he's like
He's a pro, right?
He's Mr. Professional, and that's why I chided him, because professionals aren't supposed to be late, but you know.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's the guy, he was a Fox News pundit on Cincinnati Fox, you know, the Fox News channel in Cincinnati, Ohio. And he was doing like some hard-hitting news pieces.
Yeah.
Like, you know, did the CIA, you know, did the FBI know about the Boston bombings before they happened? Like that kind of stuff on network TV, which may have led to him no longer working there. He had a he left amicably and can't talk about why he left. So I'm basically assuming he was getting really popular like nationwide because of these local news things, but and had a huge following for a local news guy. But you know, I think basically they were like, okay, Fox pretends to hate the government, but we really don't, and you're sounding too true and real, and our stockholders don't like it. That's my guess.
Right.
And they probably, you know, paid him and had him leave. That's my guess. And he can't, and as a result, can't talk about it. But yeah, man, I mean, he actually had a 5-minute sit down with Barack Obama on camera and asked Barack Obama, this wasn't the wording, but he basically said, so why you droning so many brown babies in the Middle East? And he lived to tell about it. So I have a lot of respect. I have a lot of respect for Ben Swan.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So so he's reporting on somebody on the staff there, Annabelle Bamforth, who's on the staff there at Ben Swan, is reporting on, you guys probably remember the shooting of the homeless guy in Albuquerque. Well, as it turns out, that the two officers that were, responsible have been charged with murder.
Nice.
Of all things. And, nice. It looks like that the assistant, I think it was assistant district attorney, decided to that it wasn't going to go to a grand jury, that she was just going to go ahead and charge them with murder. So I think this is pretty awesome.
That's bold. And you know, grand jury is what as we saw in Missouri recently, like grand jury is where the government sends people when basically grand jury is where what the government uses when they absolutely want to determine the outcome of a trial. A regular jury, there's too many variables, man. The government cannot rig it.
So what it says is that that according to the Albuquerque Journal, the case was not brought before a grand jury, and the
can't rig it as easily. Okay, go
can't on. Rig it as easily. And so so the second district attorney, Carrie Brandenburg, she filed the counts via criminal information, which allows her to charge the officers without presenting evidence to a grand jury.
Yeah, well, every once in a while. Well, grand jury is different. So every, I mean, they could charge you without a grand jury anytime they want.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Every once in a while, they have to throw someone under the bus to make themselves look honest. And even for that reason, I'm always happy when bad people get punished.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
So, Diana Kyler, the laughing kitty.
That's a good purr.
All right.
My cat's looking at me.
So we're going to talk about how people are stupid. You know, I was testing Fiend Phone with the very intelligent Scott Horton from the Scott Horton Show the other day, and he's very interested in it. He wants to use it with his co-hosts when it's a little more robust. You know, a couple more iterations of it. A little more solid, he'll use it. So, because he complains about Skype all day, every day on his show. So, I was doing a test with him and showing how, unlike with Skype, you can like play music over it and the other person can talk and it doesn't, you know, the music doesn't squash down their talking. Like, you can hear everything clearly at once. And I was playing some Sex Pistols and Scott was like pretending to do an intro for his show and he's like, "All right, this is Scott Horton. This is the Scott Horton Show, and I'm right about everything, and you're wrong about everything." Yeah,
pretty much.
So we're going to talk about this article about things that stupid people think about libertarians. And we're libertarians.
In a manner of speaking.
So what's the title of it? And we're going to go through as much of this list as we can in the rest of the show, starting with one. So read the intro.
So, this is like from one of my new favorite websites. It's called anarchant.com. And I think we've referenced this before, but this is 15 BS facts about libertarians everyone thinks are true.
Facts should be in air quotes.
Yeah, facts, exactly. Yeah, the fact, BS facts, you know. But anyway, but it's got a little meme on there, which I like a lot. It's libertarian, a person who doesn't follow up the phrase, "I believe in freedom," with the word "but." That's basically a libertarian. So anyway, so it's a list of these 15 things that people think are true about libertarians, and they're not. The first one is libertarians ignore the issue of public goods.
Goes public on to say, goods want or to, public good?
public goods. So like roads, et cetera, street lamps, that kind of thing. So
I don't ignore the issue. I complain about it and talk about how it's done wrong.
Yeah, how it'd be done much, much more efficiently and better if the free market were allowed to kind of do its thing.
If the free market were as free as I'd like it to be, when I was having an asthma attack last night, I could have gone online with my Crohn's robot turd. I actually got one used for 40, not used. I got a Galaxy Samsung something for $45, new, a discontinued one on an eBay auction, and just got it today. I haven't turned it into a phone yet, but I might turn it into a Fiend phone eventually. But
that's nice.
So yeah, in lib pair, I would be able to pull that thing up and say like Siri or whatever it would be on an Android phone and say like, I need asthma medicine. And like, you know, it would give me like options in my town, and literally like, I'll bet there'd be like a pizza delivery kind of thing for over the all medication. Like you'd be like, oh, I want, this medicine. Like literally,
vending machines.
No, I wouldn't have to leave. I wouldn't have to go to a vending machine. I would order it up and, you know, like I wouldn't have to leave the computer. I could just not even turn around. Just, you know, they would come to the door. My wife could go get the door and bring it to me and like, you know, hold the puffer in front of my face. I wouldn't even have to leave my seat, man.
Yeah. Well, by now it would probably just appear in front of you because, you know, it would be like Star Trek world. And
actually,
everything.
Yeah. Actually, in lip hair, there'd probably be 3D printers for drugs that would have like canisters of carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen. It would just print the molecule right there for you.
Yeah. So this first thing is saying that libertarians, you know, are just, they kind of ignore the problems that may ensue without the government, such as who would build the roads, you know, who would, you know, take care of the street lamps.
I want to know who would, you know, they said, who would plow the roads? Nobody plowed, like the city does not plow the roads in my part of this town, literally. Like,
snow plows. Yeah.
You know who plows the roads in my part of town? Pickup.
The neighbors.
Big pickup trucks just mashing the snow down. Like big Wyoming pickup trucks that could go through anything. That's what deals with the roads. They don't get plowed here.
Yeah. So anyway, so there's like a lot of words after each one.
Go for it.
Yeah. So it says, want to confuse a libertarian, make his head explode, ask him who would build the roads. Still think roads, street lamps, and even defense are a problem for libertarians? You haven't talked to many libertarians.
You have. Well, whoever wrote this, or whoever they're referencing, has really not talked to many libertarians, because most libertarians I know have some really solid answers of who would take care of the roads and the street lights without the government.
Yeah. Well,
there are almost stock answers to those things at this point.
Yeah, one of the things he says is that, you know, talking about defense, you know, defense funds can come from an insurance style organization. I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, that insurance, you know, there would be insurance companies that you would pay for security, you know, that kind of thing. The libertarian argument is that public goods work better and in a more efficient way on the free market due to competition, otherwise known as choice. Yeah, libertarians do not support forced monopolies, which is exactly what we have.
So it sounds like the first, this article's written by an anarchist or libertarian, right? And they're, it sounds like they switched voices here. Like they're referencing the argument from the stupid person and then they're giving their intelligent response to it. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, kind of like, like playing devil's advocate kind of thing. So, yeah. And then number two, Somalia is a sore spot.
Okay, wait, we didn't really address that one. So
okay.
I guess you did kind of. What I always go back to is that statists, those who love the state, those who worship the state and will defend it like they're defending their family, which is a really important distinction to make.
Or their religion.
Because, there's a lot of people who are atheist, but we call them statheist because they worship the state. I mean, literally, like, they will argue long and hard for the state. And it's different. There are people who basically, Stefan Molyneux says, like, anybody who loves the state wants to kill you. It's the against me argument, which is kind of a specious argument. I never liked it. It's too us versus them. Mm-hmm. And I really think that most people, except for a small percentage of true believers, I think most people can come to see the truth that all government is immoral. And I don't like the against me argument of that, you know, he basically says you should defoo, kick out of your life any family or friend who says they like government in any capacity.
Right.
Because, I mean, I was a Democrat and a voter. I'm not ashamed to say that, but it's filthy. Yeah. I feel like I need a shower after saying
most
that.
Most of us are reformed.
Yeah. And,
so,
you know, if you kick anyone out of your life who believes those things, you're never going to be able to, be effective at, you know, proselytizing to them, I guess I'd right. say.
You're just always going to live in an echo chamber, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have no one in your life that believes differently.
Yeah. Which is why I pretty much stay off Facebook because, you know, the funny thing is the echo chamber sometimes like echoes things back that I've said. Like there's a Facebook. I was going to call this episode without the government. No, I was going to call it, show me on the doll where the government touched you. And then I was like, did we have an episode called that?
You've used that before.
back when I was with Nima. And I was like, no, actually what happened was, I said when before Davi Barker was a regular host on here, we interviewed him when the TSA messed with him.
Yeah,
about
that was
Bitcoin.
A big deal.
And I said, you know, I said in that show, Davi, show me on the doll where the TSA touched you. And I just searched.
That was on his way back from the Liberty Forum last
Pork
year.
Fest,
yeah.
I thought it was, wasn't it? Oh, Liberty
no,
Forum.
It was Liberty Forum, I believe. Yeah.
So I searched. Show me on the doll where the government touched you. And the first nothing came up in that exact phrase. So I'm going to use that for the show title. But the closest thing match was the top result was a Facebook page called Show Me on the Doll Where the TSA Touched You. And that's something I said on the Fiends and somebody thought, yeah. Oh, that should be a Facebook page. So sometimes the echo chamber echoes me back without acknowledging me, which I don't mind. But it's kind of weird.
They thought it was original.
They thought of it. They probably heard it in passing and thought they thought of it, which is, you know.
Yeah. It happens.
It happens. I'm a big fan of attribution, but I don't demand it.
Right. Like okay. some people.
So here's what I was getting at before going to number two. Who are the some people?
I don't know.
Sorry, I hit the switch. What?
I'm not saying anything.
I was hovering over the cuss dump, but no. So were you going to say a name that cannot be said on radio? Because it's a cuss word?
Yeah, probably. Right. No. I mean, or just, might
someone who likes attention. Yeah.
You might. The person from the dark side.
Oh, Chris Cantwell, if you say his name out loud three times, he appears in the mirror and scares you.
Yeah. With waving his muzzle in your face.
Muzzle sweeping you. Yeah. I wonder if his vapes got, I'll bet if his vapes got delivered to his neighbors, he'd go over and open carrying and say, give me my vapes. Threaten with bear spray. All right. So now I'll let the government take care of it. I'll file the paperwork in 6 to 9 months. I'll get my $60 back. And in the meantime, I'll just order more vapes. Okay. So the question I have, or the comment I have about the who will build the roads and the next one being about Somalia is, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Like, I really think they must teach these rote BS answers, like questions for libertarians to statists in state school. And I had that theory for a long time. Like, you know, everyone you argue with says, who would build the roads? Why don't you just move to Somalia? And there's one or two others. I can't remember what. They're probably on this list. But, and you know, the answer for if you don't want any government, move to Somalia, which is BS because there is government in Somalia. But the answer, the answer to that is if you love government, why don't you move to North Korea? Because they have, you know, so. But yeah, I've always wondered.
If you're a Puritan, why don't you move to North Korea or Saudi Arabia? How about that?
There you go. And, you know, I've always thought they must teach this in government school now. And I've actually asked a couple people who are in or were recently in high school. And they're like, yep, teachers teach this. They just parrot it all the time whenever the topic comes up of, you know, less government.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because who would build the roads and may as well be Somalia.
Yeah. Oh, the other one is without the government, you know, grandma. Here's the other two. Grandma would starve to death and children would be working in whorehouses. Those are the four road answers. Those two and the roads in Somalia. All right. Well, we can get to number two in the last second.
There's some good ones on the list.
Yeah.
Definitely. But yeah, I mean, it's just basically answering statists what their silly questions are.
Silly statists.
The silly statists.
All right. We'll be back.
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
So Diana did another audio pamphlet for Mises.org, and I'll link it in the show notes tonight. And it's called All I Want for Christmas is a Real Government Shutdown by Ron Paul. That'd be a good one. I can't wait to see that.
There was another one I did recently that I really, really enjoyed doing because it had a lot of personality and everything that came through in the article. So I could add, you know, and I felt like it wasn't very dry reading.
Yeah.
But they haven't put it on the website yet. And I emailed them to see like what the deal was with it, but I haven't heard back. So I'll send that to you when they finally load it up there.
Back off the mic about an inch. You're getting some plosives there. Okay. And this is a teaching hospital. So so we're reading misconceptions about libertarians and commenting on them. What's number mm-hmm. two?
Number two, I kind of mentioned it already a little bit. Somalia is a sore spot.
No, it's not.
It says, well, that's what they think. That's what statists think. They think Somalia is a sore spot. Some people think libertarians are sensitive about Somalia as a subject. They think Somalia is the ultimate argument against the philosophy. Yet libertarians have pointed out that Somalia was better off under anarchy than a dictatorship.
Okay, we're getting into now. Let's not read his comments on them. Let's just read the premise and then we'll comment on them. So, Somalia is a sore spot for me because it's always used as a straw man. A straw man mm-hmm. is where somebody takes your argument, turns it into a different argument that's a bad idea, and then says, mm-hmm. well, you believe in this bad idea. A really common example is like, if you're against Obamacare, people tell you you're against healthcare. You know, because the government has intentionally rebranded Obamacare as healthcare to where the point where people confuse the two, you know?
Yeah, I keep getting emails about it.
Yeah. I don't know anyone who emails me about things like that. Here's the thing. I don't defoo people who just happen to believe in some government, but people who push it in my face repeatedly, despite me telling them why they're wrong and telling them, look, okay, we'll agree to disagree, but stop sending me this stuff. And they send it anyway. I've blocked people like that, including family members. But go on.
These are coming from healthcare.gov.
Okay, so the government is spamming you. I don't get spam from them. What did you go on their website? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that I had lost my healthcare, which actually, as of now, I have. I was covered under my ex-husband.
Now, you didn't lose your healthcare. You lost your health insurance.
Yeah, I lost my health insurance. Yeah, let's be very clear. I apologize for that. But yeah, I had thought that I had lost my health insurance, and turns out I didn't until the end of the year. And by then, I had decided I wasn't going to sign up for it. I had was sort of planning on doing it, but decided not to. And so, of course, I'm getting, you know, you only have 2 days left. Open enrollment is ending, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah.
So you went on there once, and then the government's still touching you in bad places.
Yes. Leave me alone.
So, yeah, tell me more about Somalia.
We mentioned the straw man where, you know, they say, you know, statists will say, hey, libertarians, why don't you move to Somalia? You know, when, and we could go right back at them and say, hey, statists, why don't you move to North Korea? Yeah. And it says basically neither of these arguments have any value because Somalia is under the rule of a dictatorship.
It's also so. It's also different regions of it are controlled by warlords who were largely armed by the U.S. government.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the other ones, like libertarians don't support equality. That's number three.
Yeah, that's BS.
Yeah, absolutely BS. Number four, libertarians believe in a dog-eat-dog society. People believe libertarians have no hearts. It says this myth comes from the Ayn Rand objectivist sect of libertarianism.
Which is not...
I'm not sure I agree with that either, yeah.
Yeah, and I would say also... you know, there's been a whole bunch of memes out lately. I think a lot of them have been done by Lusander Fien, by the very talented Lusander Fien, that kind of play that play on those and how they're wrong. Like, you know, you know, without the government, people would be there would be violence. And then like a picture of, you know, a bunch of cops beating someone up. Like, I think more I think there is more violence and suffering under government than there'd be
with
absolutely no government. That's my basic premise. And you know, and they won't let us try, so we don't know. And the statists use that. They say, well, there's never been a true anarchy. I'm like, yeah, because there's always been a government trying to mess it up. Although there have been pockets of anarchy here and there throughout history, and they've worked better than now.
Yeah, Iceland is a good example. But then again, you know, the government came and messed it up. So...
Yeah. All right. We'll be back tomorrow night on the Freedom Fiends with Davi Barker. And Diana's going to join us the night after that with Professor Randy England, Esquire. No, he's not a professor. Randy England. Worms.
Worms.